Welcome to another episode of COVID Chronicles, a podcast by, for, and about people affiliated with Portland Mennonite Church in Portland, Oregon. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum, and my guest is Michelle Rogers. Welcome, Michelle. I'm so happy to have you with me.
Thank you. I was so happy to be invited.
Well, we start at the beginning, and I don't know very much about you at all, so this is going to be fun. Where were you born?
I was born in Moses Lake in Eastern Washington, but I grew up in Ritzville and going to Menno Mennonite Church over there.
How many siblings do you have and where do you fit in the family?
I just have one sibling. I have an older sister, Amber. She is 4 years older than me.
And where is she at this point?
She is actually in Tacoma, and I just moved to Olympia, so we're actually about 30 or 40 minutes away from each other, which is really nice.
Let's talk about growing up in the middle of Washington. The little bit that I know about that part of the world where you grew up is that it's what I would call sort of a Mennonite area. Is that true?
So there is Menno Mennonite Church, and I've been going to that since my mom and my stepdad got married when I was like 3 or 4. I grew up in that church. So, I mean, for me, it's definitely a Mennonite area. They pull from quite a ways around. It is the only Mennonite church over there, but it definitely has that like farming vibe that kind of goes with some of the more Mennonite vibes that you would traditionally think of.
So did you grow up on a farm?
I did. Right now, it's a 10,000 acre dryland wheat farm. But when I was growing up, it was about 8,000 acres, and we had irrigated and dryland and a lot more crop variety.
Were there any animals on this farm?
Only the ones that my sister and I raised for 4-H and FFA. So she would raise sheep every year, and I would raise pigs every year for 4-H and FFA.
Tell me about raising pigs.
My sister's older than me. She did sheep, and I was bound and determined to do nothing like my sister when I was a child. If my sister did it, I was pretty convinced that I was never going to. So I knew I wasn't going to do sheep, which left me with traditionally at the Ritzville Fair, you get your sheep, your pigs, and your steers. So I said, okay, I get pigs or steers. Steers were big. They scared me a little bit. I think I decided on pigs. But one of my mom's favorite stories is my sister's showing. We're at the fair. She says, go over there and watch the pigs show so you know what you're doing next year. And I come back 5 minutes later and I say, I can do that. You just walk around and whack them with a stick.
Oh, I bet sorry. You found out that it wasn't quite that easy.
It was not that easy, but it was very much really, really fun. I loved just in the summer before the fair, you get to raise them, train them. I mean, you do use the stick, you use the cane. Tap them on the right, they go left. Tap them on the left, they go right. Stick it in front of them, they stop. Hit them on the back of the foot, they go. But yeah, definitely a little bit more than just walk around and hit them with a stick.
About how old were you when you started doing this?
So my first pigs I raised was 4th grade. And then I stopped at 10th grade.
So you did this for quite a long time.
Yeah. So started out in 4-H and then continued it all the way through FFA in high school.
So do you have any stories that are kind of your pig stories, or did you have certain ones that were really special or had certain characteristics?
Yeah. So there's a couple. My very first year showing, pigs get in fights a lot. And so like there's people who are there with boards and they literally like shove the boards in between the two pigs so that they can't like bite each other. But had been told by my mom since like the very beginning, if a fight breaks out, it's okay to walk away from your pig because you're supposed to stay with your pig. And she was like, if a fight breaks out, you just turn and you run.
At the fair.
Yeah, when they're with the other pigs for the first time. But I had the most scaredy cat pig, and the whole crowd is roaring in laughter because a fight would break out near me. I'd take off running one direction. My pig would take off running the other direction, and we'd reconvene later. But we were just both like, oh, there's a fight, better run. And then I had another one who you wash them in wash racks, and it's like 6 in the morning at the fair. It's freezing cold. You're out washing your pigs with cold water. There's no warm water to speak of. And so I had found these like for lack of a better term, like wash bibs, where they were like pure rubber, bright yellow overalls. And I had this one pig that whenever I wore those overalls, could not leave me alone, was just constantly like rubbing their nose against it, making it squeak. It was like, we were best friends if I wore those overalls. And so it was like, oh, you want the pig to go somewhere? Put the overalls on. And there's tons of stories, but those are some standout ones.
So how old are they when you actually get them?
So they're a couple months old. They're not even a year. I would always get ones that were born in like February or March, and then you sell them in September. So they are not that old when you take them to market. Yeah.
Did you name your pigs?
Oh, yes. Every year they had a name. In the beginning, I really liked like flower names. I had Daisy and Snaps for snapdragons, and I have lots of them. I had Harry Potter Pig at one point because I loved Harry Potter, and I had a pig and it was Harry Potter Pig. All of the different ones. And to the point where if I ever look back at pictures and my mom and I are going, and we'll go, oh, that one's that pig. Oh, that one's that pig. Because you can recognize them by the markings, and we'd even like know which pig is which. Yeah.
So you're raising these pigs to sell them.
Yeah.
Isn't that hard?
It is very hard. I cried every year, but it was also very lucrative and went straight to my college fund, which was really great. So I didn't buy fancy pigs. There were some people, they called it hog jockeying. Or that's what we jokingly called it. They'd like go to multiple states. Like they drive to Montana to get a pig. I just got one from my local 4-H leader. I'd pay like $20 a pig, raise them up, sell them, and you can get like $1,000 or $2,000 at the fair for selling them back. So it was a pretty lucrative process. It was really good. It was a good learning process. You learn how to take care of it, but yeah, you cry every year when you send them off.
And did you ever win any prizes?
Yeah, I did. I won grand and reserve multiple times for market. I won grand for fit and show. And then that takes you into round robin. And I won round robin.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Well, we're going to talk about something other than pigs, but that's a fascinating piece of your story for sure. Is it safe to say that you went to public school?
I did. I started in Moses Lake when I was very little. Then I moved to Lind Elementary in first grade, switched to Ritzville in fifth grade, and then graduated from Ritzville. All public schools and all very, very small.
Were you changing schools because your family was moving, or was that just the way the system worked?
So I started in Moses Lake. That's where I'd born. That's where my mom and dad were when I was first born. And then when they got divorced, my mom was still in Moses Lake. She got married to my stepdad, Randy, and he had the farm that was out in between Moses Lake and Ritzville. But my mom was a kindergarten teacher in Moses Lake. So I was in the classroom next to hers. Like her neighbor teacher was my kindergarten teacher. So she just brought me in every morning for kindergarten. And then I switched to Lind, which was where we were in the county. That was our school. So I went there for elementary. And then we switched to Ritzville. The thought was that they had a little bit more of a rigorous academic program. So my sister and I both switched over. There wasn't a move that went with the Lind-Ritzville switch.
As you were getting into, say, junior high and high school, were there certain subjects or things that were starting to be of interest that you're thinking, this might be a career path or something I'd like to pursue?
Well, when I was little, I definitely thought I wanted to be an actor. Ritzville had they brought in Missoula Children's Theater, and I was Beauty Lou in Beauty Lou and the Country Beast. I'm pretty sure it established my love of theater in that moment. Theater had been something that I had, not experienced a ton. There wasn't a theater program in the schools, but they would bring in Missoula Children's Theater for like a 2-week production. And I absolutely loved it. I thought it was so much fun. But I also really liked math class. I was always really good at math. Starting in fourth grade, I started doing Math is Cool, which, yes, Math is Cool.
Is that a program?
Yeah. And I think it's trying to convince you that math is cool by the time you're a child, which, looking back now, I laugh at the name, but it's a program that it's a math competition that you do. It's teams of 4 students and you go and your school can compete. And I did that all the way through, I think like the beginning of my high school years. And I always really, really liked that. I just really liked math. It was kind of something that I was good at. it made sense. I liked the patterns and I just really liked that part of it. So yeah, I think math probably. I liked science because I got to like, I mean, I liked my science classes when we got to do the fun experiments, like, you know, the volcano and the classic things. I, you know, had to put my own little twist on it. I set off, well, they wouldn't let me bring the volcano that had gunpowder and sugar in it because you can't bring gunpowder to school. But, you know, as a farm kid, that's what I had developed. So then we had to switch real quick. I ended up setting off a volcano that was connected to a fire extinguisher, the powder kind, and it shot straight up in the air, drifted across the grass. I think that grass may have been dead in spots until I graduated. But, you know, stuff like that was really fun.
So you said that you were in a production or two when you were younger. Did that continue? Yeah. Like, were there opportunities for drama in, say, high school as well? Or
not in high school. I actually, when I got to college, I kind of through a weird series of things, my school had a January term, Jan term, and I wanted to go to New York. And there was this trip going to New York and it happened to be a theater trip. And so I signed up and I got accepted to go on the trip and it was the next year. And then I realized this is like a 300 level theater course and I don't know what I'm doing. So I signed up in the fall before January. I signed up for intro to theater. Absolutely adored it, decided, oh, I'll make that my minor, went on the trip, kept loving it. And actually by the end of my junior year, decided to declare it as a second major. So I've really enjoyed theater.
You may not have listened to the interview with me yet, but if you do, and when you do, you'll discover that we have that in common, except that you seriously went into working at how to do that, as opposed to me, who just wanted to be a star.
I love it. It's so fun. You got to be a star sometimes.
So what is it about theater and about being on the stage? Tell me.
A lot of what I like, the technical side, you know, you follow the directions, you make it, it looks fun. It's fun to do. It's something to do with your hands. On the more technical side, on the more like stage side, I think I really liked that there wasn't right answers. One of my favorite theater classes was like a performance theory class, and we just got to do oddball things. And I loved it. So I mentioned that theater was my second major. Math was my first major. And in math, you know, there's a right answer. There's a way to get to it. It's very rigid. And I think I just really loved that in theater, I could do whatever I wanted. And somehow it worked.
What strikes me as you're saying that is that you're sort of a Renaissance woman. Because so many people would say, oh, I like this part, so that's why I would never do the other. But your two majors are sort of almost diametrically opposed. And maybe it's that you're using the opposite sides of your brain or something?
I don't know. It definitely really shocked people when they'd say, what's your major? And I said, oh, math and theater.
We need to back up a little bit. You obviously went to college where you graduated from high school. And then where did you go to college and how did you pick which one it was going to be?
Yeah, I went to Whitworth University, which is in Spokane, Eastern Washington. I really wanted to go to college in New York, but I had a scholarship that was Washington State only. And I was basically going to be giving up like thousands of dollars if I went out of state. So my mom said, Michelle, are you sure? I think you should stay in state. So my mom convinced me to stay in Washington. And then so I knew I wanted to go to a small college. I had actually got accepted to WSU as well on a full scholarship as part of their honors program, but chose not to take it. I didn't want to go to a really big school. And a lot of people from Ritzville were going to WSU. It kind of like fed straight in. And I just wanted to experience something different, kind of get away from what I had known in high school. So I said, okay, I want something small. I'm pretty sure I want a small Christian college. Kind of toured everywhere in the state. And Whitworth, which is actually where my sister had been going. So when I was a senior in high school, she was a senior at Whitworth. So when I was testing out places, I went to stay with her and I really liked it. I liked the vibe of it. I knew that she had liked it. And so even though I was very much still in that, I don't want to be like my sister, I also still knew my sister makes good choices. So I went ahead and that's where I chose to be. And I went to Whitworth.
So in addition to your academics and drama and livestock, Were there other extracurricular activities that you were involved in, either in high school or in college, or other than academics, what were your interests or are your interests?
So I'm pretty sure if it existed, I tried it. I loved sports. And again, it was something that my sister never did. And so it became my thing. So sports was like the one through line. I always did sports, starting from like elementary school. I was on that like peewee basketball squad. I hit junior high and I was doing volleyball, basketball, track. And that actually continued all the way through high school. I did those three sports. And then in high school, if the club existed, I probably tried it. I was in FBLA for a while, FFA, pep club, pep band. I did an academic letter where you get your varsity letter for doing an academic project. Like I was doing church youth group. If it existed, I was probably a part of it. And I was probably an officer in the club too. I was definitely that over-involved child.
Well, let's drop back and also just pick up a little bit about your church life growing up. Now, you've said that you went to a couple of different churches, but that they were all pretty small.
So I grew up going to Menno. With my parents' divorce, every other weekend I was going to my dad's house. So it was a little bit of a different church experience than normal, where every other weekend I was consistently coming back to Menno. But my dad actually went through like multiple marriages when I was a child. So I think, I'd have to count them, but there was like multiple different churches that we would go to in Moses Lake with my dad, depending on which church he was going to at that time or different wives or different things. So there was a lot going on every other weekend, but then every other weekend I was coming back and consistently going to Menno. And then Menno is really small. And so I think I was the youngest child there for like over a decade. Until there was like babies coming in. So I was like the baby of the church. I was that like sweet little kid who could, I'm pretty sure, get away with so many things, you know, just running around the church, loving it, knew all the adults, could just walk up to anybody, start a conversation. I loved it. It was this beautiful, wonderful feeling. I just loved the community of it. It was home, you know, I loved it.
And did you ever get those feelings in some of the other churches that you went to with your dad? Or it strikes me that you were ecumenical at a very young age, whether you wanted to be or not.
Yeah, I never really felt the same sort of welcome. And that actually continued through for quite a bit. Menno had always been like this special, like special, special place. And when I went off to college, I tried to find churches, but none of them ever just really felt right. I got married, had my first job, was trying to find a church. It never really felt right. And this is actually something that I had kind of talked about a little bit when I joined PMC as a member and kind of told in my like story. But I was just feeling like, I was like, I haven't had a church for like 7 years that feels like home. I miss Menno. And I was talking to my stepdad and he goes, well, why don't you try a Mennonite church? And I was like, because the closest one's 2 hours away. And he goes, so go once a month. And I drove down to PMC. I actually met some friends that were living in Portland there. They came with me for that first week because I was like, I don't want to go alone. And there was like small group sign up. I was like, well, I don't know what this is. I'll sign up for something. This sounds fun. And there was like Rook sign up. And I was like, I don't know what Rook is. But somebody says it's like Pinochle. And I'm really good at Pinochle. Well, I'll sign up for this thing. And that first time when I actually like went to the service, I was definitely kind of like huddled near my friends and was like, oh, people. But I was like, I'll give this a try. Went to my first Rook night and it was like amazing. I loved it. It was like the multi-generational that I had loved from Menno. It was like people just chatting and good relationships. I actually went back out to my car and started like sobbing, like good sobs, but I just like bawled. And I like texted my stepdad. I was like, this is what I needed. Woke him up, made him cry. But it was like this best like experience where I was like, this is what I've been missing. This community, it just felt like coming back home finally, like going to Menno when I came to PMC. And I've just kept coming since.
You said that you live in Olympia now. Long ways away.
Yeah. So when I started, I was living in Chehalis and then I moved down to Vancouver. And that was really nice. It was only like 20 or 30 minutes of a drive. But we just moved up to Olympia for my job. But I still have that plan to come down once a month. Really looking forward to just continuing that church family feel.
for you, the pandemic piece of church probably has turned out to be a blessing in disguise, I'm guessing.
It's been so wonderful. I've loved that I can still be part of that every week. It's been really, really nice, actually.
You said that you got a double major in math and theater.
Yep.
So what was your plan? Did you know when you graduated from college what you were going to do with these beautiful degrees?
Yeah. Well, when I was a freshman in college and going into college, there was this TV show Numbers where Charlie Epps was like this applied mathematician and he would like take this problem and do these beautiful like calculations and solve things. And I wanted to be the next Charlie. And then I realized maybe not quite what I want to do. So I'd gone in with my plan to get my Bachelor of Science in math, which is what you need. It's more helpful if you're going into grad school. So I wanted to do my master's in math and I was going to go be like part of a think tank or this like applied mathematician who's like people bring them problems and they solve them mathematically. That's not what I ended up doing, but it's what my plan had been at the beginning. I had slowly kind of started deciding that, well, what if I think about teaching? I was tutoring a bunch of my friends who would come to me and say, I need help with math. And they'd say, oh, you're so good at helping me. And I was a tutor at the college when they had like a math lab that I was a tutor in a couple nights a week. And so I started thinking, well, I think I might head into education. And my mom's a kindergarten teacher. So it wasn't outside of the realm for me to like consider, though she was shocked. She goes, you know, of all the things, I never thought you'd settle down and a teacher nonetheless. So I decided I wanted to do education, but with math and theater as a double major, it just wasn't going to fit in my schedule to do education without dropping something. And I didn't want to do that. So I had planned, I knew I needed to get my master's in teaching after college. And Whitworth has a reputation as being one of the best programs in the state for their master's in teaching. And so I was like, okay, that's my plan. They do this like 13-month program. It's intensive. It's so hard. You learn so much, but it doesn't start until July. And the thing is, had I finished college, that would have been perfect. But I decided at the end of my junior year that that's when I wanted to add theater as a second major. The problem is there's an every other year course that is required for theater majors. It is the capstone 400 level theater history year-long course. And I had just missed it my junior year. So I had to take it in my super senior year. I convinced the lead faculty member that I was going to be able to take it in that fifth year in the fall with everyone else, and that I didn't want to graduate an entire year late. I wanted to walk through graduation with my graduating class. So I still wanted to do that. And the way that you can do it is if you can petition for graduation, if you're not graduating an entire year later, if you're graduating one semester later, and January term doesn't count as a semester. So I took a 400 level theater history second semester course, jam-packed it into Jan term of that fifth year. The theater professor was convinced I couldn't do it. And I said, watch me. I was reading like multiple plays a day, writing multiple essays a day on these, reading my history textbook, talking about the culture and the setting and all of these different things. It was a whirlwind, but I did it. The problem was that finished at the end of January. Master's in teaching doesn't start until July. And so thinking ahead on that, I was like, well, what am I going to do with the semester that I have nothing to do? So I knew I was going into teaching. I knew I was doing my master's in teaching, but I applied for the Disney College program. And so I got to go work for a semester at Walt Disney World. They hire college students who are either in college or right out of college. And I had just graduated. And I worked in Florida for a semester in Disney World. And it was amazing. And I loved it. And then I came back and I got my master's in teaching.
And somewhere in here, you met a guy and got married too?
Yeah. My freshman year, I was in this dorm called Baldwin Jenkins. It's kind of shaped like a capital H. And the girls are on the second floor and the boys are on the first floor. And there was this guy, Raymond, who I could see his window. Like, we always joked, like, we'd like line up a rope from my window to his, and I'd like ferry him down some cookies. We just started as friends. We were actually both dating other people. I went through breakups. We're just like best friends for about a year, year and a half. And then we actually started dating our sophomore year in March. and had been together ever since then. We kind of knew when we got together, we were like, we don't want to just like casually date. Like, is our intention eventually to get married? Yes. If that ever changes, let's talk about it. It didn't change. And so I had told him, I was like, hey, I need a year to plan a wedding. And he met me as a surprise outside of the airport. He had a friend meet me, blindfold me, and walk me out of the airport when I got back from Disney World. And he was out with the like little flower set up in a circle down on one knee. So that was my 1 year, was during my master's in teaching 13-month program. And as soon as I finished my master's in teaching, we got married and moved to Chehalis for my first teaching job.
So what is the actual date of your wedding?
July 18th, 2015.
So what are you teaching now?
I am actually not teaching now.
What are you doing now?
I was teaching in Chehalis and then I was teaching in Vancouver. It was a lot. There's a lot of burnout, especially for new teachers. It's funny. The statistics are that if a teacher is going to quit, they do it in the first 5 years. And I always thought that was silly. And who would quit after 5 years? Me. I did. I quit exactly after 5 years. I taught for 5 years and I quit. It was kind of crazy. It was definitely a leap of faith. I knew I was going to quit. It had just been a lot. I was starting to not enjoy it.
What age or what grades were you teaching?
I was teaching high school math. And I was teaching a lot of remedial classes. And so it ended up, I was teaching a lot of students who had behavior issues. And I wasn't getting a lot of support. I was feeling really burnt out. And I just knew that I couldn't sustain this for years and years and years to come. I just didn't have it. There are people who have that wonderful energy and they just go and go and go, and bless them. But that was not me. So I actually knew it was coming. And then all of a sudden over the loudspeaker comes this announcement. Students, we are closing where there's this virus and we are going to close for 2 weeks and then we'll be back. But we're going to close everything, close the schools, close the district office. And I had the paperwork on my desk and I said, oh, I better get this in now. So literally the day we closed schools for the coronavirus, I drove over to the district office and turned in my resignation paperwork.
In March of 2020.
Yeah. And so I don't know. It was this huge leap to go unemployed into the pandemic, but I just knew it's what I needed to do. Before the pandemic had really kicked up, there was another teacher that I had met with. I had met her. She had quit teaching and we had talked like, how did you do it? Did you survive? And what can I do? And we ended up talking and she's talked about this thing, data analysis. And I said, well, that sounds really nice. I like that. You mean like I get to look at data and find patterns and tell people what it says and I get to interpret it and make visuals from it? This sounds amazing. So I had known that's what I wanted to do. After the school year ended online during 2020, I took some classes online. My plan had been to take some college courses down in Portland, some like night classes, but with the pandemic that didn't pan out. But I started doing some online courses and I was feeling not at all prepared. I had this idea in my head of like, my dream job would be to work for OSPI, which is Office of Superintendent of Public Instruction. It's in layman's terms, it's the education department for the state. But I was like, you know, that's like, they're not going to want to hire me right away. I'm going to have to go get another analysis job and then get some experience. And then maybe I can apply. That's like maybe 5 years down the road. I was like, oh, that's my dream job. Well, they had an opening. So I applied. And somehow I was like, okay, I made it to the next stage. Oh, I have an interview. You're calling me to say I'm your top candidate. And I got the job. And I was like, oh, wait, I didn't think this was real. I didn't prepare for this. So I was like, can we move to Olympia? To my husband. And we talked about it. And here we are. We are selling our house down in Vancouver. We're up here in a tiny one-bedroom apartment in Olympia until our house sells and we can buy a house up here. But I have been working online in my job since December and absolutely loving it, feeling so fulfilled, just could not have asked for a better situation.
I get the feeling that no one should ever doubt you.
Yeah, my husband likes to say, if I try it, I get it. And he's like, how does that work? Is that fair? But yeah, I think if I set my mind to something, it happens. I don't know how that happens, but I guess it does.
Well, it has been absolutely fascinating to get to hear some of your story. Thank you so much for agreeing to do this, and all the best with what's down the road. It sounds like you found a good spot and life is good right now. And we're so thrilled that you plan to continue at Portland Mennonite in whatever way you possibly can. So that makes me happy as well.
Yeah, thank you so much. This has been great fun.
And thank you for joining us for this episode of COVID Chronicles. If something you heard raised questions or you discovered a connection, take the opportunity to reach out and continue the conversation. I'm your host, Gloria Nussbaum. Until next time, stay well and keep the faith.